At the beginning of this year, our shepherds set before us a vision for 2026, and they gave us some very practical action steps to help us carry out the vision of, as they defined it, of loving one another. I have a card. Perhaps you have one. If not, let us know. Of how to really, we can say, love one another and make disciples. Well, how do you do that? What does that mean? And so they gave us all these action steps on this list that's on the card. Today's passage is going to really give us insight into some of these. Spend time with God in Scripture. This is from the list. In prayer. Actively participate in a life group. Grow your faith alongside another believer. Invite someone to each bring your neighbor a day. And share your faith with at least one non-believer. Let's let Jesus, he does a masterful job here in Mark chapter 4. Let's let him give us a theological foundation for that. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and he sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, listen. Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So raise your hand if you have ears. When I was 10 years old, I loved living in the city of Nashville, but my mom and dad said, we're getting out of the big city and we're moving out in the country. So we moved south. If you've ever seen the show, and most of you haven't, but some of you remember, what was it called? Green Acres. It was this kind of idea of my dad was a businessman, I'm done with this life. So we moved out into the countryside of an area in Williamson County, Franklin. And it was their idea to, we're gonna have a little farm. We're going to grow a garden. And it was their idea to start an underage child labor camp. Right, Dad? And they only had two people that were in the forced labor camp. It was me and my sister. And so in the hot Tennessee summer sun, I learned how to use a tiller to break up the soil. I learned how to remove, I don't know why, but the property we had 6 million rocks. I learned how to remove rocks from the soil. I learned how to sow seed into the ground. And then I learned how to pull weeds after weeds after weeds after weeds. And though in the moment it felt like a forced labor camp, oh, I learned so much from that. It was an incredible experience. And I absolutely loved the fresh harvest and the vegetables that came from that. And so we see Jesus here as he's teaching these. It's a parable. And a parable is, it's like when someone says, for example, they're trying to describe this, but we don't get that. So we say, for example, it's a story from life that explains, it's an illustration, a story from life that explains a deeper spiritual truth. And so Jesus is like, this story resonates with me. I get this story that he's teaching. And it did with the people that he was around because this was an agricultural society. And from this parable, he's teaching this like really basic foundational truths of what it means to be a disciple. That means a follower of Jesus. He's revealing, as I've entitled today's sermon, a little secret. And you'll notice I put little in parentheses because it's little, but it's really not. It's huge. Absolutely huge. And so in this parable, there are four elements I want us to notice. I want us to take a look at the seed, the sower, the soil, and the harvest. First of all, the seed. So after teaching this parable, then the disciples are going, what's going on with that? And he says, well, let me explain. And he gives the explanation. And in the explanation, Jesus says, well, the seed is the word of God. And so I cannot overstate enough the incredibly vital role that God's word plays in the personal life of a Christian. I just cannot say that enough. And I cannot overstate the important role that God's word plays in sharing his word with those who are not Christians, who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so in verse 11, Jesus says, this seed, this is, depending on your translation, this is the secret. This is it. This is the mystery of the kingdom of God. And then if you've read chapter 4, hopefully you did this week, you'll notice in most of chapter 4, Jesus speaks about various aspects of the seed. And so I'm going to follow his example, and I brought my illustration of seeds this morning. These are pumpkin seeds. And so when I had a break from the forest labor camp one day, Halloween was coming up, and I was on the front porch. This is where my dad still lives. Moved there in 71. I was on the front porch. Halloween's coming up, and so I got a pumpkin, and I'm cleaning out the pumpkin. Well, I'm a kid. I don't understand everything about cleaning out pumpkins, so I'm just taking the pulp and the seeds, and I'm throwing them out in the yard. Just throwing them out in the yard. What do you expect a 10-year-old or 11-year-old boy to do? And then to my surprise, months later, there's this huge patch. There's a pumpkin patch with these monstrous pumpkins that came from a little small seed. And sure, we can scientifically explain, kind of, oh, I can explain to you how that happened, but no, it's a miracle. It's just no, there's no other way to explain it, but it's a miracle. Within this seed is the secret of life. Have you ever seen acorns? They're about this size as well, and they can grow these monstrous oak trees. And from that comes thousands of other seeds, acorns, and from that many other trees, and many other trees that from one acorn could come enough wood to cover the whole world. That's the word of God. It's alive. And so this was Peter, and Peter was listening to this parable, and so you're thinking either he or the Holy Spirit prompted his memory when he's writing his first epistle in 1 Peter chapter 2. He writes, you've been born again. That means you were dead. You were brought to life. You've been given life. How do people come to life? And he says it wasn't of the perishable seed, but if imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God, the life-giving seed of God's word. In first, I love the expression in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul is speaking to the church there in Thessalonica in chapter 2, and he says, I just love the way you guys have received the word of God. And he uses these words, it's the word of God which is at work in you who believe, or in you believers. That's the ESV. That means it's alive. And it gets inside of you, and it's doing something in there. It's doing its miraculous work. From time to time, my grandmother, she lived in Murfreesboro, just a bit 30 miles from where I grew up. And I would go see her. I called her Granny. And oh, she loved to tell me stories, and she loved to read poetry and read me books. And I remember so much of it still. And one of the stories she used to tell me, was about this woman. There are a lot of stories about the hills of Tennessee. There's some stuff going on in the hills of Tennessee. It's crazy. And she said there was this woman. She would make these, you know, like these intriguing faces. There was this woman who lived out in the hills of Tennessee, Eddie. And one day she was out at a, there were these wells of water out in the forest in the woods. And she drank from the water from the well. But what she didn't know, there was a snake egg that was in the water. And she drank and the snake egg got inside of her stomach. And I'm just enamored with Granny telling me this story. And the snake egg hatched. And the snake began to grow inside of this woman. And it lived in there. And sometimes, Eddie, when her mouth would, she'd be talking, it would pop its little head out of her mouth. And then it would go back inside. And one time, you know, I'm just saying, yeah, Granny. And one time the snake egg popped and they just pulled that snake right out of her mouth. Now, some of you are doing it right now. You're fact-checking that. And what you're going to find is that's most likely comes from Tennessee folklore, but it makes a point, doesn't it? Listen, you take this and you ingest it into your life. Listen, it's alive, and it hatches, and it begins to grow inside of you. And guess what? When your mouth opens, it comes out, and it manifests itself in the way that you live. That's what Jesus is saying. This harvest, this fruit of a disciple, it comes because of this seed of God's word that's planted in your heart. And when you take the seed of God's word and you sow it into someone else's life who doesn't know Jesus, It's almost like, probably it's a terrible illustration, the mother bird just dropping seeds. They're dropping worms or food into the mouth of the baby. You're just tossing life-giving seed into the heart and soul of a person to bring them to life. And so That's the seed that Jesus speaks of. And then secondly, he speaks of the sower. And he doesn't say, now the sower, here's who it is. But if you've read your Bible, you're not going, well, I wonder who the sower could be. In the larger context of the Bible, Scripture makes it clear, you as a follower of Jesus, a disciple, you're the sower. We are called as followers of Jesus to sow the seed of his word in two directions. Into our own lives, that it'll grow and make us more like Jesus. And into the lives of others, that they will come to know Jesus and become like him as well. And here's the thing about this. We have the easy part. I'll explain to you what I mean by that. In this card that we have, you don't have to put it on the screen because I don't have it in the slides. It says, share your faith with at least one unbeliever. And you read that and you go, oh, that intimidates me. Telling people the gospel or sharing my faith about Jesus. I just can't do that. I've never done that before. I'm too new at this or I'm too inexperienced. Think about it. How hard can it be to sow a seed? It's just like that. I mean, how much experience? Oh, I've never done that before. Can you do this? Can you just that? If you can do that, you can sow a seed. And if you do it enough, why, you could just give it a curveball. Or maybe you could come around the back like that. Or if you want to have a laser focus on somebody, you could do the old flickeroo. You just take that thing and you go, bam! Oh, missed. Almost hit Steve. Here's my point. It's not about you. It's not about you. It is not about your ability or your capability of what you can do. It's fully and completely about God and his power and the power of his word. We're going to see that next week. Jesus is going to heal a guy who's demon-possessed. And the day he's healed from demon possession, Jesus says, I want you to go and sow the seed. I want you to tell other people about what's happened to you. Like, nobody's going to believe him. He has not been to seminary. He has no clue. He has no experience. And Jesus says, you're demon-possessed, now go tell. He said it to a woman. She'd been sleeping around with other men outside of marriage, and she came to know Jesus, and it changed her life. And that day, she's winning people to faith. It's sowing. And this is what Peter says Paul says in 1 Corinthians. I love the way Paul sows that seed. Oh no, I love the way Peter, he gives the ground back. And Paul goes, seriously, you guys are missing it. He says, neither he who plants, means sowing, nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. See, if I had brought you that pumpkin when I was 10 or 11 years old and said, I couldn't go, look what I did. I didn't do that. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even realize I was doing something. It's all because of the miraculous work. It's the secret of the seed. Credit belongs to God. And so it's really not complicated. I sow the seed of God's word. I sow the seed of God's word. When, like, for example, just simply bringing them to Bring Your Neighbor Day. Because we're going to be doing this. We're going to be sowing the seed when I bring people to church. Or to my life groups. That's why I encourage our life group readers, read the Bible. Don't just chat and tell them what you know. Read God's word. Sow the seed. Come to class. That's where the seed of God's word is shared. We sow the seed just simply by telling our faith story. I remember when I was in college, my best friend, I met this guy from China. We were both new that semester. And he was an atheist, and he was really smart, crazy intellectual. And I want to win him to Christ, and I'm thinking, okay, so how do you teach an atheist? I've never done that before. So what are the arguments for atheists? And then I began to read and understand what we're talking about today. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to do that then. And so his name was Bao Wafu. I called him Paul. And so we would wash clothes together on Saturday at the laundromat at the university. And while the clothes were washing, we just read through, actually, the Gospel of Mark. Because you see, it's not about my argumentative skills and debate skills. The secret is in the seed. And you not only sow the seed by speaking and sharing his word, but by living it. And people are seeing it lived out in your life. That's how we bring people to faith in Christ. Not we do, but God does. Through the power of his seed as we sow it. But then another aspect of being a disciple is once a person comes to faith, then we're disciples like we are, and the goal is, well, we're supposed to become like Christ. We're supposed to grow and mature and bear fruit, the words used there. It means to become like Christ and live out his image, and you hear that and you think, I could never do that. I can't change. I can't be a person like that. But again, it's not rocket science. You just take the seed and you ingest it. And it goes down deep inside and it begins to do a miraculous work in your life. And all of a sudden, you look in the mirror and you're starting more and more to see the image of Jesus. When I was, a couple of years ago, diagnosed with prostate cancer, Karen was reading that a thing that might help me was pumpkin seeds. Evidently, pumpkin seeds are good for prostate health. So she ordered the biggest bag of pumpkin seeds you can imagine. And And I began to eat the pumpkin seeds. And the idea was, I can't reach inside and say, prostate cancer, go away. I can't take it out. But I can take the pumpkin seeds and eat them and let them get inside and do a work within me that I could never do myself. Now, some of you are going, no wonder he's starting to look orange. Because it really hasn't done any good, okay, to my knowledge. Nothing is getting better or getting worse. I'm just pretty static right now, but I'm okay. But you get the point. Inside of me, inside of you, there's some really bad junk that shouldn't be there. There's some lust. There's some pride. There's some hatred. And so unforgiveness. There's this anxiety to just eat me up on the inside. And don't you wish if I could just get my hands and pull that hatred out of my heart? I can't. But I can take the seed of God's word and ingest it into my life and let it do its miraculous life-changing work. So how do you do that? It's really not complicated. The elders challenged us this year, spend time with God in scripture, in prayer. I just cannot overstate spending time daily in God's word, the difference it will make in your life. Participating in Bible classes, in your life groups, listen to God's word on recording as you're on your way to work. And excuse me, I got some pumpkin seed in the back of my throat. I'm joking. So that's the seed, and that's the sower. But the third element in this parable is the soil. And I would suggest that the soil represents the condition of the heart into which this seed is sown. So you can have life-giving, miraculous word of God, and you can sow it into your life. But if your heart is not good soil, it's not going to grow fruit. It's not going to grow harvest. It's not going to produce fruit. And so Jesus here says, we need to be good soil. We need a good condition of our hearts. And so he says, I'll tell you what that is. He defines good soil by telling you three ways in what it's not. What is a good soil? What is a good condition of a heart? He says, it's not these three things. First of all, he says, it's a heart described by seed that's sown on a path. And we could say that's hard. Hard path, sidewalk. Concrete. And so I learned this in gardening and with our orchard trees. Those birds can just take it away. And that's what Jesus says. The birds come in and take the seed away. And then after the parable, Jesus says, what I'm talking about there is the activity of Satan in your life to take away, to stop God's word from entering into and being actively involved in its living and active ways in your life. So, the people that need to hear that are even here, probably aren't hearing it. Because he's at work right now. If you're not into it, if what I'm saying to you is just like bouncing off of a brick wall, if you're just doing this with your phone right now, or if you're constantly and consistently neglecting spending time in the Word of God, Jesus says, that may not be you alone. That very well could be Satan actively at work in your life, and you're playing right into his hands. Beware. Now, I could spend another couple hours talking about that, but next week, we're going to see in chapter 5, I'm giving you the reading for that tomorrow, we're going to see the story of Satan and his demonic forces just destroying a guy's life. We're going to see how Satan works in our lives next week. So the second condition of a bad heart is described by rocky soil. And I don't think the attention is to be on the rocks as much as it is. The rocky soil is a heart where God's word doesn't go down deep into a person's life. It doesn't take root. And so rain comes or wind comes and it's just easily dislodged and pulls away. He sees it's not enough to say, Eddie's right, I'm going to do that. You go home and you carry out this religious ritual. I read my Bible, I prayed, I did it, boom, I'll do that again tomorrow. It's got to go down deep and take root. When I was in college, I had a professor that assigned a book to read, and it was very unreasonable from my perspective. It was like this thick of a book, and you got 2 days to read it, or something. It was like something like that. And so, being the honest guy that I am, I took the book, checked it out from the library, and I took my finger and I scanned it. Every page, every word. My eyes saw every page and every word of that book, but it didn't go beyond my eyes. I have no clue what I read. But I did the reading. Or did I? You see, this is why on Mondays, when we're sending you out these Bible study guides for this week on the chapter in Mark that we're covering, we're not just saying, here's Mark chapter 4, read this. But we're saying, okay, but there's a list of questions that go along with it. One of the suggestions is write down what you're learning. As you're reading the Bible, get a journal and write down the lessons that you're learning, because there's something, it goes deeper that way. You're not just reading it, but now you're writing down what you've learned. And there's questions that in the reading guides that accompany that. What were the questions? There's three from the inductive Bible study. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean for me? And what does it say? Like, what's standing out to me? What's impressing me? Who is doing this? Who is saying this? Where are they? What? Who, what, where, when, why? And then what does it mean? What are the lessons that I can draw from this? And one of the greatest ways you can learn a lesson, learn to get something out of this, and I'm sharing this with you in the reading guides every single week, is to read it as though you're going to be the one teaching it. Because you may never teach it, but if you read it as though you're going to teach it, it's going to force you to get something out of it. And I learned that because I do a lot of teaching from Scripture, and so I'm always thinking, how would I teach that? It's an incredible way to get something out of God's Word. And secondly, or thirdly, whatever number I'm on in this, I've encouraged you to memorize Scripture as well. Every chapter you read, pick out one verse to memorize. Psalm 119, your word have I hidden in my heart. You hide it down in there, so Scripture memory, that helps you to keep it. So you're doing this all week long through this guide, and then you join together with your life group, and you're just going to read that whole chapter again, and you're going to discuss, so you're just driving that deeper and deeper, and you come here, and we do what we're doing right now, and we're in chapter 4. Hopefully you read it this week, and I picked out a text to teach from it, just to help drive it deeper and deeper, so that it will take root, and it will begin to grow. But here's another problem. Do all that, but if you got this third type of soil, it's not going to matter. Nothing's going to happen. And Jesus says that's the thorny soil. If there are thorns and weeds, I would call that, in your heart and in your life, in your garden, nothing is going to grow. And Jesus, in the explanation of this parable, he defines.
You planted all water.
Thank you. What if a little plant starts coming out of my mouth? We got the seed in there. Yeah, I got that thing just stuck in my throat. Jesus says, these thorns, he says, he defines it in his explanation. He says, it's the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world, he says. It's the desire, listen to this, for other things, meaning other things than God. And I would describe this in a simplified way, that the thorns and weeds in our lives are two things. First of all, it's anything in your life that shouldn't be there, that's sinful and ungodly. It should not be there in your life. It's like toxic poison, and whatever good of God that you're putting in there, it's just killing it, choking it. But secondly, I believe that the thorns and seeds can be things that aren't necessarily bad in themselves, but they're things that you're giving priority, attention, and importance to over God, and so your heart is divided with mixed loyalties. Your heart is so crowded by other idols that God's word has no room to grow and produce its fruit. So Jesus says, then and fourthly, he speaks of the good soil. Well, what is that? It's everything opposite of what we just looked at. Or Jesus then describes it as the one who hears the word and accepts it. And as a result, he says, oh man, it's like a harvest in a bumper crop like you cannot imagine. And it's in your life, and it's in your life, and it's in the lives of others to whom you sow the seed. And it's not mechanical growth of, okay, I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try to live like this and try to be more like Jesus. It's just when I'm sowing the seed into my heart, into my life, it's an organic growth that all of a sudden this fruit of Jesus and his character is just naturally coming out in my life. And so the good question you really want to leave asking yourself is, well, what kind of soil am I? And here's the answer. The soil of your heart is not your irresistible fate, but it's the soil you choose. We can all be good soil if we choose that. So here's a promise, and I'll be done. It's a promise from God. I love this. Isaiah 55. Listen, it's on the screen for your eyes and your ears to hear. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed, there's our word, seed to the sower and bread to the water, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I have purposed and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So I'm going to encourage you, take God at his word, with his word. And I want to encourage you to accept the challenge our shepherds gave us at the beginning of the year. Spend time with God in scripture and prayer. Engage in worship like this, where the seed is being sown. Actively participate in a life group where the seed is being sown. Grow your faith alongside another believer. Communicate and share that together. Invite someone to bring your neighbor day where the seed is being sowed, and then share the seed. Share your faith with at least one unbeliever. Sow the seed into your life. Sow God's seed into the lives of others. It'll change your life. It's a promise. And it'll bring to life others into whom you sow his seed. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. This is God's word to us today. Would you stand as we pray? Jesus, you're a master. You're a master teacher. What an incredible illustration. You didn't just teach us theological principles. You drew a picture in our minds. And may that picture just be embedded deep into our hearts. And may it, by the seed of your word that was read this morning, may it grow and produce its fruit in our lives. And may we be emboldened to share your seed, that life-giving seed of your word with others. We pray. Thank you for these truths.